Blog Talk Radio.
I guess it's time to say Happy New Year to everyone. It's a great year, just a few days in, and I'm inspired, and you're the people that listen to me out there, whoever you are. I'm inspired by the fact that I spoke to someone the other day, and I was so happy when she said she wanted to talk to me about some issues. And then I said, oh, okay, I haven't heard from you in a long time, you know. And then she said, I listened to your blog. So I said, wow, that's very impressive. And my goal is to help educate, inspire the community, give them knowledge for their family. There's so much that we don't know. I mean, I talked to one of my nephews, Jonathan, and you know, he was telling me he's doing well. He owns two houses. And I know the subject this evening is bankruptcy 7 and 13, and I'm going to add in debt relief counseling and all of that. But I learned that, you know, he didn't really know about investments. I think I just take a lot for granted, you know, in terms of my education, even though I came from a time where, you know, we went to public schools and, you know, so I just take for granted that you know what an annuity, young people know what an annuity is. You know what an IRA is. The fact that I can buy an IRA at the top of the line and at $6,500 for the year, and it's tax deductible, you know, off my tax returns. It's a portion of it is, and I'm not an accountant, so and a tax person, but. You know, I knew about annuities. You know, annuities are, you know, investments that sometimes you get a fixed rate, which can be 5% or 3, 4, 5%, or you can get a fluctuating rate, you know, that goes up and down. You know, so he was asking me, he was a little fearful about going to the banks, you know, because it is, something that if you don't know of, and you don't know of these things, they seem so foreign to us. And I guess many of our families don't really know about it. I was able to start my practice because when I was an assistant district attorney, when I started my law career, you know, I put my money in a deferred compensation plan. In addition, I recall putting a few hundred dollars a month. Back then it was very lucrative. The interest rates were very high. And I remember I put it in some sort of whole life insurance policy. And it was the money that from those investments that allowed me to come out and have money saved in order to come out and, fund my own private practice, you know, so, but, you know, I kind of knew about it, and I owned my first piece of property when I was, I think, in my 30s, I purchased a co-op for my mom, so, like, I even knew then, and, you know, and I'm not going to say this is very important, and if you write anything down and you take notes, I'm like the pastors they have on TV, whether they're male or female. Now they're saying, write this down and, you know, the chapter and verse, you know, and you start looking in the Bible and flipping pages. I'm saying the same thing to you. Write this down. There is a difference in these loans. It's important, and I don't know the name of it, but I will talk about it a little bit more. You know, there are loans that are interest-based loans on mortgages that are interest-based. And then there are loans that have principal and interest. And so many people are not educated about the difference. So I'm just getting off the subject now because I was talking about owning a co-op and how I was able to own the co-op. But there were certain types of loans that are loans for investments, and there are certain types of loans that are loans for there are loans for short-term investments, and then there are loans for long-term investments. And you have to determine what it is that you're looking for and looking at. You have to also They always say have a good lawyer, a good accountant, and somebody else. I can't remember the other person. But the fact of the matter is you have to run things by an accountant. Get an accountant, not just, and nothing wrong with H&R Block, nothing wrong with them for the retail and lower costs in doing taxes. But when you have a question about tax implications on everything that you do, it is important to understand what they are. So before you invest in anything, you have, you know, run it by several people. Go to several investors, brokers. Ask them how, and I'll give you a checklist. How do they make their money? What fees do they have to charge? How do they get paid? These are the questions, and I want to remind myself to have a show about investment, but I'm not going to say it from the investment side. I'm going to give you all of the information from the legal side. I remember one of my first cases, and we're going to go through Financial 101 until now, until the end of the year. I hope to have more financial tidbits. There was a woman, an elderly woman, over 60-something years old. Matter of fact, she may have been older than that. She was in a car accident. I believe she got a lot of money, $1.5 million or something like that. And the lawyer that she had referred her to a broker. A stockbroker, okay, and that stockbroker took her money and invested it, and there was principal. You know, you have the $1 million principal, and then you're supposed to get the investment interest and so forth and so on. So when you look at the forms, and people say, well, aren't you supposed to be talking about bankruptcies? Yes, I am. I'm going to do that in a few minutes, but when they looked at the forms, they asked you questions about your risk tolerance and the risk. This show is actually dedicated to my nephew because he was asking me these questions. Risk tolerance. They'll ask you questions about that. This woman is in her 80s. They put her in a very aggressive part of investment. That means that you're taking a chance on the volatility of the stock market, opposed to having a set rate of 5% then or 6%, you're basing it on the stock market. Now, what they say out there is that when you invest in stock, it's over time. You can't think you're making a quick fix. Sometimes you can, and then if you lose money, you have to have time because the stock market will rebound because our country counts on the fact that the stock market rebounds. If it didn't rebound, then we would be in a depression like all the time. So we know it's going to rebound. But a woman at 80 years old may not have the time for the rebound. And then when we found out that every time a broker trades your money, in other words, if he says, or she says, I'm going to invest Miss Jones's money today into Westinghouse or into the Blue Moon. I'm going to invest in that. That broker gets a broker's fee. And then he says, I'm going to invest it somewhere else. He gets another fee. So what the broker was doing was taking money out of her account and investing it. And what was happening is the principal, the $1 million, was going down because he was losing money. But he was getting broker's fees every time he would trade. It's called churning. So her $1 million, I was hired at a point where it had sunk to less than $400,000. And I had to go to the NASDAQ, which is the stock market where we filed a complaint and so forth and so on. But it's important to understand how this works. The fact that when we looked at her form, they said she said aggressive. A person in their 80s should never be in anything that's aggressive. Aggressive means that they are going to do exactly that. They're going to gamble a little bit more It's a little bit more risky. They may put you in a new tech stock where they think it's going to soar, but then it doesn't happen. That's a risky investment. It may be a new company they want you to invest in thinking it might soar. These are some of the decisions that have to be made. I have a very good guy that I really trust. You've got to trust your broker. And trust your broker's advice, but also let them know about what your risk tolerance is. I don't have a lot of risk tolerance. I used to have it, but I remember when I was dealing with stock, you know, I'd be on the phone like every day to find out if it was going up or down. I mean, it was so stressful trying to make sure you didn't lose it all. So you know, that's one thing about investments, and we'll get back to the different types. And I'm not coming in as an insurance person. I'm coming in as the cases that I've handled legally. I had to file a grievance against the lawyer for referring this woman to this broker. Then I had to go after the broker. We ended up settling, but I had to go after the broker because the broker put this woman into an investment that should never have been aggressive for her age and basically churned her money. So that's the things that happen from a legal standpoint, but will teach you some things about the financial aspects of what I deal with. I deal with life insurance issues. I deal with people every day. When I deal with estate, I deal with folks who don't write wills. I deal with, you know, because they hire me to deal with the estates. I deal with issues of not having life insurance and so forth and so on. So from my practice, you know, these are the things that I deal with. And also the aspect of life insurance, some of the issues with life insurance is that you think you might be able to call up and get information about what your grandmother left you as she passed away. But if your name is not on that policy, you're not able to call up and ask any questions about the life insurance. And a lot of kids are shocked when they cannot call up and ask about the life insurance because their grandmother has left it to somebody else. So I do get those questions. Why can't I get information about the life insurance that I thought my grandmother left me, but find out that when you give your name and the life insurance company looks it up, your name is not there, so they cannot talk to you about that policy. That's that. This part was dedicated to my nephew, who is now going to talk to a friend of mine who's a wonderful family man and an individual who is great leadership in helping him understand all of the things about investment. Then he'll triple back and double back and run it by me. Bankruptcies, I've talked about this before. I had a show on bankruptcies. I'm not sure if I did the 7s, 13s, and the debt relief. Somebody asked me that question about debt relief. Let's see. What do I like about what is debt relief counseling? You've seen those organizations versus a 13 and a 7. So I'm going to go from the debt relief. Debt relief and loan consolidation, they come with fees. So say you have $25,000 in debt, and somehow you want to pay it off, and you do the loan consolidation or debt relief counseling, they may be able to negotiate that $25,000 down to a lower number. But what they have to figure into that number is their fees, their interest, their fees, or whatever it is. So you've got to look at what are the debt relief organizations, what are they earning, and what are the fees. Okay. Then you have to make a decision whether what do you get if you are engaged in debt consolidation and debt relief, those organizations, what are you getting for them? You're getting I try to understand why people are doing it. And I guess they don't have the information about, you know, debt relief and debt relief counseling. It does help you to pay off your bills. I guess it wards off from judgments against you. I guess it does all of that. But, you know, my feeling is that, and my opinion is, when you have strikes and haven't paid your credit cards on time and you haven't paid any of that on time, and you are at a point where none of your credit is being paid on time and you're falling behind, and you know, you basically have wrecked your credit rating or your credit report already. So if you think that going to debt relief is going to take that your credit report, that's not going to happen. So what am I saying? In other words, you can get it, and I'm not advocating one or the other. I can give you information about why to lease a car and why not lease a car. So I have pros and cons on both of them. Debt relief is just a way of, they negotiate sometimes, it's lower. So what you have to pay may be lower. So if you have $25,000, the debt relief counselor can possibly lower what you owe. And that's important. But the most important thing, they make up with that windfall of the debt relief by charging you interest. I mean, that's the key. So you may not, you may not be in the best shape, because what you may win in terms of lowering your debt, and, you know, that's it. So in other words, it'll be made up in what you owe. So you have to look at the fine print of debt relief counselor. Everything is online. You have to do your researches, do your research of different organizations that, you know, does the debt relief. Of course, if somebody else taking over, your payments. And then on the other hand, you have to make sure that they are absolutely paying what it is, that needs to be paid, and that they're not a company that is, scamming you and taking your money, so that is important to make sure that they are not scamming you, taking your money, saying they're paying off people, and they're not paying off the debt. I've seen it happen in foreclosures where you have these companies that say they're going to pay your mortgage, and they don't pay your mortgage, and so that happens. And so you have to make sure that you do your research. What is research? Better Business Bureau. Any complaints? Look at their website. Any complaints online? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So these are all the things that you have to look at. Sometimes you can have debt settlement. You can have a company that will call up and say you're willing to work things out, and there's you want to settle your debt. That could be, if you have the money to pay off. In other words, if you have the money and it's low enough to make it, and so, for example, if you owe $5,000 or $10,000 or $5,000 or so, and they're willing to take $2,500, and you have $2,500, that get rid of it. Absolutely. They won't garnish you your wages, you know, but debt consolidation, obviously, it's supposed to lower your monthly rate. It can be 3 to 5 years that you're paying off these credit cards or whatever it is that you have. You know, so basically, and they're monthly fees, and make sure you know what the monthly fee is, you know, what the monthly fee is. And that's pretty much it. And then make sure you're not using your credit cards while you're doing debt, trying, you know, build up more credit issues while you're doing debt consolidation. I think debt consolidation is if you have a portion of the money and you can get a lower amount that you can just get rid of the bill. Like, for example, if something is, and you can sometimes negotiate this with your credit card companies anyway, you may not need a debt collection, but if you're in collection, sometimes you can call up and you can negotiate and get it lower and pay it right off. Paying it off is important for buying property. You know, they want to see on your credit report that you paid it off. And I'll go into it a little bit more about debt consolidation and debt relief, but do the research and don't look at the website and see the Better Business Bureau. Go to the Better Business Bureau and make sure that they don't have any complaints against them. You know, there are other consumer, and it's state and federal. You can go to the city Better Business Bureau, or you can go to the Consumer Bureau. You can plug in whether there are any lawsuits against them. I remember I was researching a school for somebody, and I found out, you know, there were many lawsuits against this particular school. So you need, before you do something and you put your money in somebody else's hand, make sure you do the appropriate research. Chapter 7, that is and we'll do it, like I said, a three-part series, but most of this year is going to try to talk about some of the issues that are relevant to your bread and butter. You know, I could talk about Robert Mueller and I could talk about the Donald Trump, but we're trying to talk about how to keep our families together and keep us solvent. You are a brand. Your family is a brand and you are an entity. What does that mean to me? It means that you have to protect yourself as if you're a brand. So, for example, chapter 7, verses 13, and we'll do a little bit more on that. 7 is more consumer. That means your credit cards, all of that is important. You put all your credit cards together and you can discharge and not have to pay them if your salary does not allow you to pay it. So you can make $100,000 and have a profit after you pay all your bills of $30,000 and expect to discharge your bankruptcy, you discharge your credit card debt because you just don't want to pay it. It has to be the numbers have to work out where you can't pay it, and therefore you discharge. Under bankruptcy, chapter 7, yes, you can continue to keep your car. Yes, you can continue to keep your home as long as you're up to date on your payments. You have to list every creditor on your bankruptcy petition. You have to list homes that you own and what's the debt on the home. But you do, the most important thing I tell clients, you have to list all your debt, because under the rules here that if you don't list all of your debt and you miss them, that creditor can still come after you because you did not give them notice and list it on the bankruptcy document. You must, chapter 7 and chapter 13, chapter 13 means you have enough money to pay back your creditors. So I don't know whether debt relief and debt consolidation is good for you, or whether it's chapter 13 where you can spread out the payments of what you owe over a 60-month period and then over a lesser period. But the maximum is a 60-month period that you can stretch out some of the debt, and I'll tell you a little bit about that works, how that works. But you have to start considering all these things that help your family. But the most important thing is get some money in the bank and start saving. People out there, family, I'm going to tell you right now, you got to get rid of these family members that continue to borrow. I've been through so much over the last year because all it is a drain. Well, have a good week. Happy New Year. Let's talk about the draining of the swamp, not what the president says, but what your families do to you. They drain the swamp. They drain you, and we got to get you out of that. Have a good week and Happy New Year's. This is Lauren Razor from Razor Law.